What's up, y'all? It's been a minute. Don't beat my ass. Charge it to my head and not my heart. Look, real players need a break too. Nah, for real. You know, mental health is real. If you experience mental health issues, definitely take care of yourself and practice self-care. That is no excuse. However, I am back to drop a new episode for y'all to let y'all know what I've been having in store. Just to be very frank with y'all, I've had some tech issues and things of that nature, but I'm back. We're going to move forward and push through this. I told you guys it may be some hard times, happy times, struggling times, however you may want to label it. But we're going to go ahead and continue this. So we're going to dive into the black community and HIV and talking about testing and how we can get each other involved and engaged and how we can really be innovative in how we do it. Go ahead and tune in and watch part one. And thank you guys for sticking it out with me and staying with us. And we have a lot more in store for y'all. Y'all going to really be excited for what's to drop. Just hang in there with us and hope to hear from you soon. So go ahead and leave a message if you want to in our message drop. Or you can email us at ForbiddenSecret22@gmail.com. Check it out. Welcome to Forbidden Secret, raw and uncut podcast. Today we are here in recognition of Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day, and we're going to get into it real good and raw and uncut and show y'all, let y'all know some of the things that we know as professionals, as humans, and, you know, everyday citizens, and, you know, just to represent, you know, Black History Month, Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day. We do want to, you know, read out the definition of it. So February 7th is National HIV AIDS Awareness Day, which was first observed in 1999. It was planned by the Strategic Leadership Council each year. This observance is a day to acknowledge how HIV disproportionately affects Black people. So you can go ahead and register for Live with Leadership webinar. But other than that, that's like the logistics of it. And just to hop right into it, I want to introduce our guests and our co-host today. I got Miss Kaya Price.
Hello, everyone.
To my right, to your left, and I got Langston Jones. You want to introduce yourself, Kaya? What do you do?
So I'm Kaya, and I'm a social worker. I worked 3 years as with Brian White Case Management in Kansas City, Missouri, as a linkage secure coordinator, and now I'm working as a social worker for the University of Kansas Medical Center.
Oh, that's amazing! So, who do you used to work for?
Brian White.
we'll leave the shade there. So.
Yes.
I do miss your face, though.
Yes, I miss working with you all, too.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, so, Langston, tell them about who you are.
Yeah, so my name is Langston Jones. I work for an organization called Vibrant Health. Historically, through the grapevine, we were Thrive Health Connection, originally Good Samaritan Project. So if you've heard about those organizations in regards to it, that's definitely who I work for. So last year, 2 years ago, we actually merged with Vibrant Health. And that's what I work for as a prevention specialist, where my target demographic is African American MSM. So, yeah.
All right. So, y'all know who I am.
Do we know who you are?
Yes. Exactly.
I think you still need to give them an intro, though.
I'm the motherfucking hoe.
Okay.
I'm the Mario Richardson. I'm your primary host. I am a peer educator here in Kansas City, Missouri. Retention, it's an emphasis on retention because I primarily work with people who have been out of care for 6 months or longer. So you would typically find me like in the homeless shelters, in the homeless camps, behavioral health centers, hospitals, and things of that nature. So not only do I have lived experience, I'm work around it every day, like 80% of my life. So
So basically you say, catch me outside, how about that?
Okay.
Basically, okay. You catch me outside before you catch me in the center. All right, so let's just hop into it real quick. So we're going to start off with the statistics from black people or people of color when it comes to HIV and AIDS. And from what I know off the top of my head, one of you guys can back me up. There's 13% of the population, but there's 42%. African Americans or people of color are 42% affected. Like, there's 42% are affected by it. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. I think you're very close on that. Sorry, I'm taking time to sit there and actually look it up while we're sitting here talking. But I remember actually looking this. I was watching a couple podcasts or webinars yesterday, and I remember 13% was the number that actually definitely stuck out. So. We got to do better as black people. So
tell me this. I just want to start out. How do you feel first, Kaya, about HIV in the black community? And second, how do you feel representation when it comes to testing and access? Why does that matter?
Okay, so with representation, I can talk about my experiences working with my clients here. In Kansas City, there's no representation as far as African-American providers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is a problem because we need to see us in the setting.
Come on.
And, you know, how can we refer people to these doctors? And some of us have medical mistrust because we have experienced issues going to white providers or people who may not understand or believe black people when they say that they have medical issues and things like that. So I think that causes a problem. And that's why a lot of people are not getting tested regularly. They feel like, oh, I don't have any signs or symptoms, so what do I need to get tested for? But a lot of people do not have signs or symptoms, and they may be positive or have some other STI. And then as far as the community, I think we need to be educated more on how to access HIV care and testing. I answered that.
You did.
All of that.
So I kind of beg to differ, and I'm going to throw a little carrot there in regards to it.
Look here.
So I feel like the representation is out there, but we work for, and I'm just going to put it out there, we work for more of these white organizations or organizations that don't represent us, and then I'm not gonna say we become whitewashed in between like working, but we're trying to sit there and do the work and things like that to where we're trying to push for, you know, stigma and doing this, that, you know, they want you to sit there and be educated. They want this, they want this. But it's interesting because I have a lot of people who work in HR, and the simple fact of when it comes to with managers like hiring people, like a black counterpart can go in there with, like, you know, no experience or things like that and not get a job. And then when it comes to, you know, a white counterpart, they can sit there and go in there with no experience and get the job. So I feel like it's very interesting to sit there, like, if I'm trying to do something for the community and I don't have experience, hey, cross-train me, give me the stuff. I have a passion about the work in regards to it, but it's still unfair, the injustices that we see in the workforce and things like that, that, you know, we're not able to sit there and walk in like a white counterpart with no experience versus a African-American person with no experience. But we definitely want to make a difference in our community.
Right. So do you think the representation matters, like, what kind of, like, in the, like, different, I guess, roles of the organization? Because I know we can see on the forefront, in the field, let me say it like that. I see a lot of, you know, other people that's black people that's into it and trying to do it. When you get up the ladder, those that make decisions behind policies and organizational structures and things of that nature, do you think that it stops there? And that's where the issue is? Because my experience, it's like, I've been doing this, 4 years now? And every time I come around, the first thing I see when I come home is like, okay, everybody around me in that work know what we're talking about. But then when I come home, I feel like I'm in Baby Baghdad.
Right. Not Baby Baghdad. I like that analogy, though.
Like, I got to come home, and I'm still in the same situation. And then, really, I can't really voice my opinion the way it is, because then I got to worry about if I want to fight, I got to have some emotional intelligence. I got to worry about if that's some information I want to disclose.
And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, people really ain't trying to hear that shit because they trying to survive or trying to get to the next level or trying to do whatever. So my thing is, like, how do we get the message into our community? Because once you give them the knowledge, they ain't got no excuse.
Yeah. It's funny. I actually did, like, a lunch and learn for, like, the city a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the questions that came up. Like, it's not that our people lack knowledge. It's a simple fact of what can we do with this knowledge to sit there and make this and make it proactive for our community. I think that's one of the biggest parts is we just got to be proactive. Like, if I'm going to go out to the community, and one thing that I do is I host brunches. And y'all been to my brunches in the past. And so it's for y'all to sit there and be like ambassador. If I tell you about HIV facts and everything like that, not for you to sit there and say, oh, I enjoyed a free brunch, blah, 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 took take pieces. But take that information in your friends groups and your peers to sit there and have conversations about, hey, like, you know, I always give this analogy, like, I pass condoms out at, like, my barbershop or local barbershops in Kansas City. So when I have a conversation with a barbershop or, like, an owner, I always sit there and say, hey, this is a conversation that you should have. Your client comes in and is like, oh, yeah, bro, like, I just smashed this female or I smashed such and such. You can sit there and be like, oh, what's up? Tell me all about it. Mm-hmm. But then after you have the conversation, so, but did you wrap it up? Like, you know, and that should be the conversation. Like, you know, you can't be out here raw dogging it, like, in regards to it or blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, you got to protect our queens, like, in regards to it. Like, and that's one of the biggest things, so.
So, we got a question.
Proactive. I heard you say proactive. I don't think the black community is proactive. I think it's more so what can y'all do to make us come, because we've been told or let down so many times. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, if you say come to this to learn about HIV, to learn about any transmitted disease, it ain't that I don't think the black community would go. I think it's more so, how y'all gonna feel comfortable to get us to come? Like, what can y'all do to make us come? Because 9 times out of 10, if we go to the doctor, we ask questions, we do, y'all, we get the same results or the same that we don't feel like is serving us. So what can y'all do to get us to want to be like, okay, well, I want to be tested.
Like,
or
the events that we have that it be inclusive to, like, culture. Like, black people like to eat, drink, you know what I'm saying, listen to music. But instead of having no offense, but because it does work, because I use that in my program, but instead of having $10 gift cards, there needs to be something catered.
Or a platter of chicken.
Just something that y'all got to trigger our brains to be like, just like you got these musicians, these different, we don't know nothing about them, but when we hear them song or something, it catches us to make us, so... y'all gotta catch us in something.
That leads to my next question, because I wanted to ask y'all, how do y'all feel in y'all personal experience about stigma? Because I think stigma plays a big part in that. Mm-hmm. Even when it comes to those that are not positive, I think answering to that is like, okay, I don't want to be the odd fish out the bucket, like, oh, let's go learn about this or let's do this, but how can we make it inclusive?
And then the unknowing don't want to go, because, for example, I use myself, the unknowing. I know and I go get tested frequently and I do all that, but we still human. We still do things. Right. This is uncommon raw. This is raw, right? Everybody do their thing. Everybody do their little things or whatever. So nothing is 100% sure. Right. But sometimes we be scared. We don't want to know the reason. We don't know.
That's
so
true.
It's like,
that is true.
I'm scared.
Right.
Look, so how do we overcome or get it to be like,
I think that's stigma.
I was speaking off the stigma. Like, personally me, I don't mind doing it, and I would do it, but I know my status, but I still wouldn't do it in front of everybody, because it's just like, I don't know.
Right. Do you feel like if you were to be test positive for STI, it would be embarrassing?
Yes, I don't want nobody to know. And then I don't know, depending on what business or whoever I go to, I don't know if I'm comfortable enough to know if they gonna spread it.
Right.
The business.
That's what a lot of our culture's main things. I ain't gonna tell my business. You know, I don't want nobody to, you know, we need some trust, or we need some something to make us be, I don't know.
And that's why we need innovative strategies again.
But you know what? I was going to say, it's interesting that you say that. We talk about stigma. Mm-hmm. And I think right now it's really, well, not right now, but just like in general, it's definitely about creating like safe spaces.
Yes.
Just for like our people, like in regards to it. Like we talk about building trust and a lot of these components, but in regards to it, like, you know, you first have to build the trust and then you get into like stigma and things like that. But there are a lot of barriers that you have to sit there and break when it comes to it. So that's why I sit there and say with my friends groups, I start from my friends group.
Right.
And then y'all sit there and be like, oh, hey, I came to a cool event, Langston, He gave me, you know, free condoms, like, I felt whatever. And I always sit there and tell, like, what we talk about is a Vegas rule. Like, I'm not going to be the person to sit there and run your business on the street.
Right, right.
Now, don't get me when I've been turned up. You know,
but, like, in regards to it. But it definitely is a safe space. So we have to, I think one of the biggest things that we have to do is create safe spaces for our community and for our people. Because that's one of the biggest things that, like, I think we definitely lack, like, in regards to our community. We can talk about stigma. We can talk about discrimination. We can talk about racism. We can talk about sexism and all these other pieces. But we have to create first a safe space for people to sit there and come to.
Exactly.
And so I think that's kind of just the umbrella to sit there and, you know, really dive into, like, the stigma piece. Like, yes, there's stigma out there. Like, you know, I tell clients who come in all the time to get tested from my agency that, you know, oh, what you coming in? Like, you know, on our sheet, our consent form, what are you coming in for? And, like, I can see it definitely on the sheet. Like, hey, you coming in for a routine test or, oh, you coming in because one of your partners tested positive and things like that. Hey, it is not the end of the world, like an STI, you know, HIV and things like that. I always give them the caviar, like, or even when I'm testing you. Like, it's definitely a conversation to sit there and say, hey, your test results are going to be either negative, preliminary, positive, or invalid. Invalid just means I didn't do the test right. But that randomly happens. So, but in regards to it, like, I try to create that zone of sitting there, people coming in and wanting to feel welcome. Like, you know, you might say, y'all probably hear me all the time. Hey, what's up, friend? What brings you in today? Or what's up?
Making a conversation.
Like, so I call people friend or what's up? Like, how can I help you? Like, and things like that. You have to create that, like you said, that environment that's warm welcoming that people want to actually come into versus, like, hey.
Yeah, because for me, I know, like, doing little sipping paints and community events for me is what makes me comfortable with reaching out to the community and it accommodates me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm comfortable with that. But what do we say to, like, the rise in HIV? Because I know the statistics show that black women are more at risk than, you know, any other gender or race, black women. But at the same time, gay black men, MSMs, are at risk as well because there's one in every other person that you meet that's possibly exposed to it. But then that falls, do you think that comes to you that in that category, like bisexuality, DL, does that fall into that? Well, you know this because you're in prevention, you know. Does that fall into that category? Because so what's the reason these numbers are going up? Is gay supposed to be fucking gays only?
I feel like it's beyond lack of knowledge. No, so I think one of the biggest things that I sit there and say, like, you have the information. Like, and so, you might as well look. So at this point, so perfect example, 2000, what was the pandemic?
2020.
Preferably March 16th.
Okay, sure.
Not you know
Diddy's birthday.
So in regards to it, so perfect example, I've been in the field for what, roughly 4 or 5 years in regards to it. So, keep it up. No,
16.
You trying to come for me?
No.
And how old are you?
I just came out the womb.
No, but so, and I've worked in the field for umpteen years, like, kind of going forward in regards to it. So, you know, I preach it on social media. I have conversations with my friends, like, blah, blah, blah. So, and I'm, look, if my friends see this, I am definitely not judging you. So I'm going to put that carrot out there. But in regards to it, I had 3 friends in the month of January who all tested positive. And so, like, you know, in my head, like, I have to be professional, like, in regards to it. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm going to sit there, look, this is Camden, what's going on? So I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I do the work. There's no reason at this point that you should be, and you know the information, you know what you should be doing in regards to it. And then, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, like,
that it's easy for you to deliver the information, had a conversation being a person that's negative versus a person being positive.
So you're not in my business now.
For me.
No, because I know it's different aspects to it. And a person that's positive, they probably like, you know, I mean, it's different when it comes to prevention or whatever. But I'm just saying in general, like, I know I run into a lot of people that are not positive. It's like, yeah, I knew I can do this. I can, you know, if you were positive, do you think you would have that same effect? And I think that's what we miss in the community. We don't have people that are comfortable with who they are to get out there and be like, hey, I'm here to give information. I'm here to help. A lot of people are limited by the stigma and, like, not wanting to, I guess, tell their business.
I think
that's exactly what it is.
No, go ahead.
It's the shame and the embarrassment. Yeah. I mean, and that'll keep you from going to the doctor, besides the other factors. But, you know, you, like, okay, DeMario, no shade, but KC Care. I mean, everybody goes down there to KC Care.
That's the one.
And so everybody knows everybody.
That's the
thing. And so then you see your nurse who had a relationship with your baby daddy. And
you like, I went to school.
Yeah, and you like, oh, I'm about to go because she not about to tell my business because she going to call and tell XYZ. You know what I'm saying? So then you don't want that to happen because Kansas City is small and people know everybody. And so you just don't want to do that. So
or what if you are a person that's had an experience and got an STI and work at the same place? I ain't seen anybody. I'm just saying.
Or what
if you are, if you're working in the same, because I've heard coworkers who dated people in the same center and they've contracted STIs and then they can get on the screen and be like, this bitch that came here and fucked me over. You know what I'm saying? And then you like, okay, that's HIPAA. You know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of other things to go with that.
Exactly.
But that contributes to the stigma and the whole thing behind, like, not wanting to go out there and get tested, whatever. You know what I'm saying? People do things for different reasons. But
or at the health department, you get a positive test. At the health department, you get a positive test result, and you encounter a rude person. And because you encounter that rude person, you won't go get tested anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Y'all gonna stop sitting there calling people's organizations. I'm just kidding. Because they not it is an interesting dynamic because then when you work in the field, then you sit there and work on those errors that people, because you know that's not the first time that I've heard it, like hypothetically, like in regards to the health department, or you talking about like Casey Care, and like the thing is, you have people who are passionate about their work.
Yeah.
You just have to sit there and have that caveat. If you see somebody like that, you know, like, and I do it all the time.
Or is it the work or is it the people?
It's a combination of two.
So. You can go to work and do the work, but when, like I tell my job, when I go home, I'm not who I am at work because I go home to a different environment. And then what triggers me or compels me a lot of times is that when I do go home and I see shit that I learned, that I seen from work, I'll educate, but I still have to be intelligent about how I release the information. Because if I see somebody doing something, I'd be like, you know that job. You got a condom. Did you ask this person? You know, then they'd be like, what the fuck is you? Who is you? What's, you know, you got to be really sensitive to how like that feedback is going to be, because that's my issue. Like when I go in the community and I see stuff, I enjoy myself, but then I start hearing people talk about people with HIV and they down, have no clue who in the room.
Yep.
You look like you ain't got that shit, or do you got that shit, or just certain shit. And it's like, I be trying to, the psychology, trying to figure out, like, where would that come from in a person's mind to even have a conversation starter? Either they're having unprotected sex, or, like, this dude came to this girl and was like, ooh, you so fine, I just know you ain't got HIV.
Mm.
Why does that have to be? Why does that have to be? You know what I'm saying? Why is that? Psychology again. I'm thinking if a person comes and says that means either you thinking something so nasty that it involves HIV,
or
you got HIV and you don't want nobody to know, or you just ignorant. They're ignorant. And
yeah,
just,
that's ignorant.
But I think that there's a combination of being like educated and then being just ignorant.
Yeah.
And I see it every day. Like even people still sit there, oh, like, you know, I ain't got AIDS, first of all.
Oh, right.
Motherfucker. And Lord forgive me when I say this. Just because, like, you know, in regards to it, but it's HIV. So I literally have to sit there and break it down for people to sit there and say, hey, it's not AIDS, it's HIV in regards to it. Oh, yeah. And, you know, people will still sit there and say, oh, yeah, that AIDS test. And I'd be like, didn't I just tell you it's HIV? Let's break this down. HIV test. Not AIDS test. Like, right. let's not be stupid.
So hypothetically, what if I was allegedly that person, and I say I don't know the difference between HIV and AIDS?
And I sit there and say, maybe. So here's what it is. HIV stands for human immunodeficiency virus. It's the virus that
That's the active virus
that trans that yeah
that you're living with. Then yeah. AIDS is a syndrome. HIV. We have a set
or
of
HIV3.
Yeah, it's like having a cancer. You're in the latter stage of your diagnosis. So if you're diagnosed with AIDS, which is 200 cells or below at your labs, which is your CD4, mm-hmm. then you will then be susceptible to opportunist infections, which are considered AIDS. You know, it's just syndromes. Yeah. Like if you have what's some like pneumonia.
Yeah.
Or toxoplasmosis. Or toxoplasmosis, a brain infection, things like that.
You
or
have another.
You look up and you always down and sick.
Say that three times.
those are what AIDS diagnoses are, you know what I'm saying? But right. People don't know that. They be thinking you fart the wrong way, like, this AIDS.
And then that's I just want to say that if you have AIDS, that's not the end of life, okay?
Right.
You can get on medication.
Yeah, you can bounce back from AIDS.
Yes, yes.
Catch me outside, yes. How about that?
Right.
Yes, so.
But again, do you think these conversations are,
they're needed
in our people of color community, but do you think they're being had? And then I was asking the other day, how do you have conversations with people about, like, getting tested, like, before you have sex? Or, you know, like, just having that conversation with somebody when you first meet them.
So, here's one thing. So, and y'all have worked with me before. Like, I do a lot of things that are indirect. Or I do a lot of things that, you know, aren't just in their like, you know, let me preach you. No. Where I'm not preaching at you.
Right.
So, like, when I do my brunches. When I do my brunches or I sit there and say, hey, let's do a lunch and learn. Let's have my friends over at the house and I'll sit there and cater like lunch and things like that or cater dinner or things like that in regards to it. And we sit there and we have a conversation. And then so I'll pop up the question. But these are ways to sit there and have like conversation. Not to sit there and say you have the expert. Yeah. But you have the person who can sit there and say, okay, so like hypothetically... And I've done it to my friends. Mm-hmm. And, like, when I say they all turn heads, because I was just like, so, y'all been sitting there talking about, like, HIV and everything and blah, blah, blah in regards to it. I got HIV, and y'all just sat there and made me feel like I am just and so nasty and I'm dirty and da-da-da and blah, blah, blah. And all the expressions, like, change just, yeah, in regards to it. So, caviar, I don't have HIV. But, like, in regards to it. Like, but those are things that you have to sit there to get people to sit there, have a conversation. Let's see what's really on your mind. And let's change the grain of sitting there and having conversations about, like, okay, why do you feel like it's nasty? Look, everybody's out here having sex. I'm not going to say everybody. Right. But people are out here having sex. Like, in regards to it. Like, if you think about the biblical aspect, it was created between a man and a woman. They were all getting down freaky. It really don't matter in regards to it. Sex is normal. Sex is not a taboo. Healthy. It's healthy. Look,
it is.
I just did a presentation yesterday on healthy sex.
Who let you do a presentation?
Intimacy of month. And there's four different types of intimacies. There's physical, there's emotional, and there's the psychology part of that too, mental and psychology. But people think when you have sex, of course it's physical, but then there's an intimate part. And some people don't have sex, but you know, you can still be intimate. But that's all.
But you know, that's an interesting dynamic. So, so not to sit there and steal the shine or steal your show, but have you ever talked to somebody who like is like, so I don't want a relationship. Well, I want a relationship with you, but I want an emotional relationship. Yeah. Like, and you think about all these barriers.
That's the
like,
gay people in today's
I don't
world.
What's it called? The what?
That's the gay people in today's world.
Oh, is it? My cup is empty.
But we're gonna take a break and we'll be back, y'all. So keep tuned. We'll be back.
Thank you for tuning in to Forbidden Secrets Podcast. The opinions of our guests do not reflect any entities that's being spoke of, If you are a person who is living with HIV or looking to get tested and looking to get the access to care, feel free to inbox me confidentially and I'll be able to connect you to those resources. Each state should also have a hotline and also have a health department, so you can always reach out to your local health department to get at-home tests, to see if that resource is available, or to get any type of education. If you need any help connecting to those resources, feel free again to inbox me. And don't forget to check out part 2. Thanks for listening.